Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Women's Soccer Zone. Good to be back. My name is Kieran and as always I am your host for this episode of the Women's Soccer Zone. So what do we have coming for you on this episode of the show? Well, our interview this episode is actually a double interview. It comes with Rosengard pair Anita Asante and Ali Riley, who of course have recently won the Damallsvenskan title in Sweden. So our Swedish correspondent Linda Eriksson had a chat with them in between their UEFA Women's Champions League last 16 first and second leg. So an interesting listen, so definitely do tune in for that one. We also have our roundups, of course, from our correspondents in Europe, in Australia and, of course, in the United States. And we will no doubt bring you some newsy bits over the course of the show. Of course, there is a record attendance awaiting the England and Germany women's national teams as they go face to face at Wembley next week. And recently, the squads for both teams were announced for that game. So we will have a very quick look at those. But rather than me ramble on for this intro, let's get cracking and get into some of the news.
Women's Soccer Zone would like to thank our partners, She Kicks Magazine. Subscribe at shekicks.net for even more women's football.
So we're going to start this episode with our news roundup and doing things a little bit differently. We are going to pick our top five news items that have made the headlines over the last couple of weeks. So in at
number five.
As mentioned in our intro, England will face Germany on Sunday the 23rd of November and there will be a 55,000 partisan crowd to greet both teams. An incredible effort by the FA to generate the interest and is no doubt going to be a fantastic event for all concerned, especially no doubt for Karen Carney, who is in line to make her 100th appearance for England. So no doubt going to be a special day for Karen and the Carney family. Looking at the two squads, I'm not going to rattle through them individually because that would take me forever. But of course, we will see that there are a couple of notable absentees in the Germany squad. Nadine Angerer, of course, who has been nominated for the Ballon d'Or, is not in the squad. As is Nadine Kessler, who is absent through injury and isn't likely to be back for a little while. In the England squad, no real surprises if we're honest. Kelly Smith does make the squad though after picking up a bit of an injury towards the end of the FAWSL season. I know speaking to Kelly, she wasn't particularly hopeful about making the squad, but she has made it. Notable absentees are Gemma Bonner, who has been in the last few squads, and Casey Stoney, who of course is celebrating the birth of her twins, a little boy and a little girl, along with partner Megan Harris. So congratulations to them. So that is England against Germany covered off. So in at
number four.
The news broke this week that Sunderland Ladies general manager Mick Mulhern has resigned from the club. Mick, a previous guest on the Women's Football Podcast before Women's Soccer Zone launched, a very, very instrumental individual in producing some of England's best young talent from the Northeast. The names like Steph Horton, Lucy Bronze, Carly Telford, Jordan Nobbs, all coming through the Sunderland Youth Academy under Mick. And I'm sure that Sunderland Ladies, who recently gained promotion to the FAWSL1, will no doubt miss his influence. But, of course, Claire Robinson will be the head coach leading that side into the FAWSL1 in 2015, and I'm sure that they will still make a very good go of their first season in the top division. So in at
number three.
We now know, of course, who is going to be competing in the final of the Women's Eurozone qualifying for next year's Women's World Cup after both Holland and Italy came through their respective semi-finals. Holland overcoming Scotland 4-1 on aggregate after an impressive 2-1 win away and a 2-0 win at home. Dutch trio of Lena Martins, Vivian Medema and Maron Mellis certainly giving the Scottish the runaround throughout. And while it's a massive shame for Scotland, the Dutch side looked very, very strong as they go into the final against Italy, who themselves had to overcome a very, very stubborn Ukraine side, winning the first leg 2-1. It certainly looked like the Italians were in trouble after trailing the Ukrainians in the second leg 2-0. It looked like they were going out, but veteran Patrizia Panico, who at the age of 39 is still going very, very strong, managed to level it up after Gabby Adini pulled it back to 2-1. And it will now be Holland against Italy in the final of the European qualification zone for next year's Women's World Cup. In at
number two.
FIFA announced its shortlist for the Puskas Award this week, which of course recognises the best goals scored in the previous year. In the past, we have been lucky enough to see the occasional women's player nominated for the award. And once again, we see a player joining some of the elite from men's football. And on this occasion, it is Stephanie Roach, the Irish international, who scored an absolute dream of a goal last year playing in the Irish League. And if you've not seen it, I certainly recommend that you have a look on YouTube, because it is a goal worthy of any award. So if you are in a position to vote, please do, because we really do need to back Stephanie as the only female representative on that list. And finally, at
number one.
UEFA Women's Champions League last 16 ties are currently ongoing. We are recording this show in between leg one and two. Not the best timing, I'll be the first to admit, but you have to record when you can. Already, as we record, the likes of Frankfurt and Wolfsburg have gone through. And as I record this, I have just finished watching Olympique Lyonnais against Paris Saint-Germain. PSG springing something of a small surprise in overcoming Olympique Lyonnais, previous UEFA Women's Champions League winners, 2-1 on aggregate after a 1-1 draw at home. They have now gone to Lyon thanks to Fatema Erlouchi, who has managed to score the decisive goal that knocks Lyon out of the competition. Obviously, as this show comes out, there will be other ties that have been completed. The likes of Rosengard, as we record, have a 2-1 lead in their tie. And as we speak, Glasgow City are currently playing their second leg against FC Zurich and currently trail 3-1 on aggregate. And if that game finishes by the time this show is recorded, I will, of course, update you. So that is the five pieces of news from the world of women's football over the last couple of weeks. So we will now, after this short break, begin our roundup from around the leagues.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSO Zone.
So we've had a bit of news. Now let's get our roundups from our correspondents from around the world. And we will begin in France. We've just mentioned Olympique Lyonnais and Paris Saint-Germain's Champions League game being completed. So apologies, this segment did come in before the second leg was played. But I'd like to welcome again my friends from France, Foot Del. So please do tell me, guys, what has been going on down in France. Bonjour.
Dear Kieran, here are the latest news from the French Division 1. The ninth round of D1 games was played last week, but with four matches only, as both PSG and Lyon were engaged in the Champions League and were therefore excused. Montpellier, who had great ambitions at the beginning of the season, lost again. This bad performance doesn't benefit Guingamp either, heavily defeated at home by Juvisy 1-6, thanks to, in particular, to a triple goal by French international star Gaëtan Tinet. Following this match, Juvisy climbed to a second position temporarily, just in front of PSG with one match less. Montpellier remains in the fourth position, but with 5 points less than PSG. Olympique Lyonnais remains in the first position. Battling to stay in the first league, Rodez scored well against Albi, 2-0. The Raffets have climbed up two places and are now in the sixth position. This weekend was also the first win for Arras this season, winning over Issy-les-Moulineaux, a newcomer to D1, by 3-1. This success gets FCF Arras away from the last position in the ranking. Another interesting point is that now every single team scored at least one win this season. Champions League. The long-awaited duel between PSG and Olympique Lyonnais finally took place last Saturday on Stade Charletti. Usually dominating the game, Olympique Lyonnais finally found their match. After a first goal by Corinne Petit of Olympique Lyonnais, the Parisian team found the necessary resources to equalize thanks to their latest recruit, the German star Lyra Alushi. The rematch will be played this Wednesday in Lyon. French national team. On October the 30th, the president of the French Football Federation announced the French candidature for the FIFA World Cup in 2019. South Korea will be the only competitor for the organization of this event. The final decision on the host will be announced in March 2015.
So despite the fact that Lyon are now out of the Champions League, still very much in the driving seat in the French first division. So where do we go to next? Well, we're going to go to Germany, and it's getting very tight up there at the top. So Brian Maguire, welcome back. Tell us what's going on in the Frauen Bundesliga.
Busy period in Germany over the past couple of weeks across three competitions, but very little in the way of surprising results or interesting events. Champions League first, second round first leg, comfortable wins for both German teams. FFC Frankfurt played the Italians Torres and won 5-0. Two goals for Celia Sasic there. Wolfsburg went to Austria to play Neulingbach and they won 4-0. Two goals for the evergreen Martina Müller. No surprises in either game and none will be expected for the second legs. Both German teams should be through to the quarterfinals. In the Bundesliga as well, everything seemed to go to form. Two games were pulled forward to the Wednesday because of the Champions League. Wolfsburg mowed down Herford 7-0, and then FFC Frankfurt beat Freiburg 7-0. That was a very surprisingly heavy defeat, but Frankfurt were ahead after 13 seconds and two up after just 3 minutes. Both those results left, well, a job to do for Bayern Munich, who were leaders before. They had to wait till Sunday, and they played against Jena, who they'd only just beaten in the Cup 1-0. 4-1 it ended this time, and that goal for Jena was the first goal Munich have conceded since the opening day of the season. No change at the top. The top three look like they're going to stay very tight at least till Christmas. In other games, there were also wins for Turbine Potsdam, SC Sand, and a slightly surprising result for Hoffenheim as they beat Essen away. The week before that was the Cup's second round, well, the second round for the big teams, and the big teams more or less easily all got through their grounds. Only Bayern had a little bit of a struggle, winning 1-0 away to Jena. But Potsdam, Wolfsburg and Frankfurt all got through. The only defeat that was surprising was that of last year's finalist Essen, who lost 1-0 to second division Gütersloh. One more point about the Cup, the draw was made for the Cup quarterfinals on Saturday before the Potsdam game, and the tie of the round will be Frankfurt versus Bayern Munich, which was the 2012 final. One interesting thing away from the pitch here in Germany has been the start of a slight debate about the future of the Frauen Bundesliga. According to one website, Framba, there is a possibility that the league might even be reduced. Currently at 12 teams, the idea is to reduce to either 10 or 8 teams. The real reason for this is, of course, for the national team's good and to reduce the number of games that the national team players will have to play. With three competitions going, that might be for the advantage of Sylvia Neid, but I'm sure the fans of the Bundesliga have a lot to say about that, and it will be interesting to see how far they want to take this. Bundesliga is back again next week, where the only interesting tie as far as the top three are concerned is Wolfsburg, who have to play against Essen. Bayern and Frankfurt both have doable ties, and the rest of the league will continue as normal.
Finishing off our European roundup, we are going to go to Sweden and, of course, our correspondent Linda Eriksson. So, Linda, tell us what's going on in Sweden. Obviously, the Damallsvenskan now complete, but there's bound to be some news going on there. So what's been going on?
Hi Kieran, Linköping's FC and FC Rosengård both played their first round of 16 matches in the Champions League on Saturday, but while Linköping won easily at home against Svesta, despite having seen their goalkeeper Katie Frayn sent off in the first half, Rosengård struggled against Fortuna Jöring. Anja Mitta gave the Swedish side the lead already in the 12th minute, but Fortuna worked their way into the match, which proved to be surprisingly even, and finally equalised in the beginning of the second half. After the goal, Rosengård improved their play and regained the lead in the 66th minute with a goal from Katrin Schmidt. Coach Marcus Tilly said after the game that Rosengård cannot be pleased with the result despite having won 2-1 because they should have scored at least 3 goals. Goalscorer Schmidt agreed that while Rosengård occasionally played well, they were too content and comfortable when in the lead.
So big thanks to Linda there for that short roundup. Just a quick note to add to her piece there. The end of season awards did take place in Sweden this week with plenty of awards handed out. So rattling through them very, very quickly. Goalkeeper of the year went to Hedvig Lindahl. Defender of the year was Nilla Fischer. Midfielder of the year went to Caroline Sager, with Lotta Schelin winning two awards, winning the forward of the year and player of the year, while Anja Mittag took home the Damallsvenskan Player of the Year, and Malin Diaz winning the Best Breakthrough. So that rounds up Sweden and rounds up Europe. Thank you very much to our correspondents. But finishing off with Sweden leads nicely into our interview for this show, and it is with, as mentioned in the intro, with Anita Asante and Ali Riley of FC Rosengård, who of course won the Damallsvenskan this year and are currently competing in the Champions League. So Linda managed to catch up with the pair to talk all things Damallsvenskan, Champions League, and a little bit to find out how much they know about each other. So here they all are.
Welcome to the Women's Soccer Zone, Ali Riley and Anita Asante.
Thank you. Hello.
First off, congratulations to your league title.
Thanks. Felt good.
I was super happy with it. The whole team, was really thrilled.
I also have to congratulate you both. You've both been named in the players' all-star team.
Yeah, thank you. it's always an honor to know that you're, you know, colleagues and fellow players think you're good. It's flattering. I voted for Anita, so I'm glad she was in there.
To anyone who doesn't know who's listening, the Players' Awards are an award that is voted on by all of the players in Damallsvenskan. So, Ali, you've been with Rosengård since 2012?
Yes, after the WPS folded, I was in dire need of a team, and I was lucky enough to be contacted by LDB FC Malmö, as they were called a couple years ago, or last year even, and came on over.
Anita, this is your first season with the club. I've heard you both have a long history of playing against each other. What has it been like playing with each other?
For me, it's a relief. It's like, thank God I get to play on the same team as her and just watch and admire, you know, her ability to get up and down the line and join in the attacks as well as recover and defend and not have to go up against such a, you know, insane athlete and really talented footballer.
Well, you very convincingly won Damallsvenskan this year. Did either of you predict at the start of the season that you would do this well? You finished the season with 54 out of a possible 60 points.
I think getting Anita this season was really huge for us. Having a leader in the back line and having someone technical who can control our oops fail. And once we got Marta there for the last few games, I think it was kind of the icing on the cake. But the team is really strong, and I think on paper you can see just top players from so many different countries that you would know we would be a good team. But with football, you never know. And we had a coaching change in the summer, which is never easy. But, the team is mentally really tough and full of great athletes. So I think the biggest challenge, obviously, winning the league was really important for us. But winning Champions League is the top of our list right now.
Yeah, I was going to say Damallsvenskan obviously finished a few weeks ago, but your season isn't over yet because of the Champions League. You played the first leg in the round of 16 a few days ago and won 2-1. What were your impressions of that game?
I think, we dominated the first half in particular, especially the first sort of 30 minutes. And it was probably some of the best possession football that we've played this whole season, I think we collectively felt. And we would have liked to have gotten more goals, throughout the game as the game went on. But overall, I felt that, we were stable and we were in control. And obviously, there are small details that we know we can improve on for this next fixture tomorrow.
One of your goal scorers, Katrin Schmidt, she spoke to TV afterwards and said that the team was a little too content and comfortable when in the lead, and that she didn't feel you played as well as you could have. Do you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think we started to make some things maybe a bit more difficult for ourselves because we knew that we had so much of the ball. We were trying to do things that maybe looked pretty and a bit nice, whereas we could have been maybe definitely more clinical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think now we've made it so the game tomorrow is just going to be a war, a big fight, and that's something that I think our team needs to be able to do, as well as play that really nice football. When you have Marta, Ramon Bachmann, Anya Mittag, you want to play this little fancy. We're doing back heels and some really unnecessary passing. So tomorrow we're going to have to prove that we can play dirty football too. And as back line, we're going to be clearing. It's going to be important. We don't know what the field is going to look like, and it could be windy and muddy, so we're just going to be really focused and get the ball away from our goal.
Anita, I spoke to you back in April,
And you said then that your motivation behind joining Rosengård was that you wanted to challenge for the Champions League title once more. Now that you have played a full season with your team, what do you think of your chances? Can you make it to the final?
Yeah, I mean, I have a strong faith in this team as a whole, the club, the backroom staff. Everyone does such a professional job in our preparation for these games. And I think this season we've proven that, you know, we are a strong outfit as a team and in every sort of individual spot. And a lot of players can come off the bench and also contribute in really decisive matches. So I have every faith that we could go on and do really well in this competition because, as you know, having played with Arsenal in this competition before and won, you know, on paper, I think this team is actually more of a stronger outfit as a whole. And the experience and wealth of experience from international players to the players that have just been at this club is much greater than I did have when I was at Arsenal. But also it's the strong will and mentality that this club definitely sort of oozes that I've been able to step in and feel that, yeah, everybody's on the same page and is definitely motivated to reach a final in this competition.
Would you say that it is the club's goal to win the Champions League within the next few years, or is the primary goal to win Damallsvenskan every year?
Oh, it's definitely to win Champions League. Yeah. I mean, what I think most clubs would say, obviously, that is a dream. But for us, I think it's a realistic goal. And whereas the last couple of years, we haven't done as well as we would have liked. And I think it's a little bit about luck with the draw. But this year, the team we have, I think, is good enough definitely to make a final and hopefully win. But, I mean, like we said, it's all about tomorrow right now.
You played with the team last year, Ali, when you were eliminated by Wolfsburg. And the year before that, you were eliminated by Lyon. You obviously have to beat everyone to win, but I think a lot of people would agree that you technically deserve to go further in the tournament both years. Did going out at such an early stage affect the team in any way?
I mean, it's always a huge disappointment, and I think, it shows that we coming into preseason, as in the case when we played Lyon, have to have really, really good preparation because coming in, you know, you've players you haven't even played with yet, the season hasn't started, and then going and playing a team such as Lyon is a huge challenge. And then last year, Wolfsburg, they were the best, you know. So I think it just shows that, yes, the Swedish league is competitive and the teams are good, there's great players, but you have to really be at the top of your game when you start playing outside of Sweden.
Speaking of Lyon, their recipe for success has been to keep their players at their club. And to me, from the outside, it looks as if you are trying to do the same thing. Obviously, they signed Anita at the start of the season, but the essence of the team still seems to be very much intact. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also that players want to stay at the club, so it goes both ways. But we have almost 10 of our starting 11 staying next year, so that's really, really important.
In conclusion, are you up for a quick round of questions?
Yeah.
I think. Ali, you will get 2 questions about Anita, and Anita, you will get 2 questions about Ali. They're football-related, all of them.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay. Ali, the first question is for you. Anita won the Women's Cup in 2007 with Arsenal, playing against which of your current teammates?
She doesn't know either. Marta.
Yes. And one more.
Ramona?
Yes, that's correct. Okay, Anita, which Swedish international gave Ali the tip that Malmö needed a fullback, which led to her playing in Sweden?
Caroline Sega?
Yes, that's correct. Okay, Ali, how many years did Anita spend at Arsenal before joining Chelsea?
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna go with 7.
Close.
8. Oh!
Ah! OK, Okay, last question. Anita, what made Ali decide to become a football player?
I can't wait to hear that. I must have said this.
Oh, my God. Okay, one second. Well, Dad?
That's what I would say.
Ali's father?
Ah, okay. What I read in an interview was Mia Hamm in the 1999 World Cup final.
Oh, maybe that is, yeah. I was already playing then, but that's when I wanted to go to an Olympics. That was yeah. my... I wanted to be Mia Hamm.
Women's Soccer Zone. Listen to the show on Audioboom or download via iTunes. Just search for Women's Soccer Zone.
So big thanks there to Anita and to Ali and, of course, to Linda for conducting the interview. So that rounds up everything from Europe, and we will continue our roundup from around the world. And we're going to go down to Australia, where Rachel Collier, our correspondent based down in Perth, gives us the latest from the W League. So g'day, Rach. What's going on in your area?
League leaders Perth Glory inch closer to their maiden premiership with an impressive 4-2 win over the visiting Newcastle Jets. Glory have secured final status and will play their semi-final on home turf in December. The match was an all-plain sailing for Glory, who were forced to come from a goal down after Emily Van Egmond's early strike for the Jets. However, the home side were 3-1 to the good by the half-time break, thanks to a double from the informed Sam Kerr and a goal from Matilda's teammate Caitlin Ford. Alyssa Davideo added insurance late on as the free-scoring Glory, who have now scored 28 goals in 9 matches, moved 8 points clear at the summit. The competition is hotting up in the race for the top four, with Canberra United, Melbourne Victory, Sydney FC and the Newcastle Jets still in the hunt for a finals place. In a highly anticipated top-of-the-table clash, it was Canberra United who secured victory over an out-of-form Sydney FC. United jumped into second position on the W League ladder with a 3-0 win over an injury-hit Sydney side as the two-time champions saw its horror winless run stretch to 4 matches. First-half goals from Sally Rojan and Michelle Heyman had the Sky Blues on the back foot, and American forward Stephanie Oach added an impressive third to round out the scoring in the nation's capital. Sydney FC striker Jasmine Spencer hit the post late on, but it was one of the few bright moments for the demoralised Sky Blues, who lost goalkeeper Alicia Harris and key defender Renee Rolleston to injury during the second half. It was a record-equalling defeat for Sydney, who have not been on the end of such a scoreline since the competition's opening season 6 years ago. This result is a big confidence builder for Canberra, who will be hoping to progress comfortably into the finals. Current champions Melbourne Victory ended a 3-match losing streak by overpowering the Western Sydney Wanderers with 3 unanswered goals. Captains Steph Catley, Rachel Quigley and Lisa Devanna all found the net as the victory ended a turbulent few weeks on and off the field. The stars for the Brisbane Roar secured a much-needed win 3-0 over Adelaide to haul themselves off the bottom of the ladder in what has been a disappointing season for the Season 6 Grand Finalist. Tamika Butts scored in each half, with Emily Ginnell adding a third as the Roar finally found themselves some form, with a confident display that contrasts their lowly ladder position. As we go into round 10, there is still very much to play for. Keep up to date with all the W League news right here on the Women's Soccer Zone.
So big thanks to Rachel there, covering all things down under, clearly getting very used to that microphone on only her second appearance on the show. We conclude our roundup of all things world soccer in the leagues that we cover as we join Sarah Gerke, a familiar voice on the show, as she covers all things NWSL. Trades starting to pick up in numbers. So Sarah, give us some information on what's been going on.
While there hasn't been any action report on the pitch, there has been quite a bit of news made off of it as NWSL teams were to craft their rosters in preparation for the 2015 season. The Boston Breakers have made a number of moves, including signing 2 Brazilians, Franciel, a midfielder, and Andressa, a forward. Notably, the number of international slots allotted to each team has expanded from 3 to 4. Another important personnel change for the Breakers is the retirement of promising forward Jasmine Reeves after playing just 1 season in the league. Reeves took, no doubt, a higher-paying job with Amazon. The Breakers also acquired the rights to defender Amy Barzik from the Western New York Flash in exchange for their second-round pick, number 18 overall, in the 2015 college draft. Western New York continued their roster clear out by sending defender Cat Williamson and midfielder McCall Zerboni to Portland Thorns in return for midfielder Amber Brooks. Brooks is currently on loan in Germany to Bayern Munich. The Flash began some of their rebuilding through the acquisition of former U.S. Women's National Team defender India Trotter. The Houston Dash have acquired English midfielder Rachel Axon, who previously played in Norway, where she played in 23 matches, scoring 2 goals last season. The Dash's neighbors to the north, FC Kansas City, are also bolstering their roster and coaching staff. FC Kansas City gave head coach Vlad Kuyanovski a 3-year contract extension. The club also re-signed both forward Liz Bogus and defender Amy LaPelbit. They also signed former Washington Spirit midfielder Yael Averbush, who will not be allocated for the 2015 season. Most recently, the club acquired defender Kate Dynas from Seattle Reign FC, along with Seattle's second round, number 16 overall, and third round, number 26 overall, draft picks in the upcoming college draft. In exchange, the Blues sent the rights to midfielder Merritt Mathias to the Reign. This move allowed the rather popular website devoted to Laura Harvey to finally be updated. No doubt Reign fans are hoping HasLauraHarveyMadeATradeToday.com to be updated again soon. That's all for now, but I hear there are quite a few re-signings and trades that will be announced in the next few weeks.
So big thanks to Sarah there for giving us her update on all things USA. Clearly the NWSL trade system picking up a little bit of pace, and we will of course keep you updated on the latest movers and shakers as we approach the 2015 NWSL season. But that does in fact bring us to the end of the show, or nearly to the end of the show, because of course when Women's Soccer Zone launched we did say that we had a Jess Fishlock signed shirt to give away, and after drawing the numerous number of names out of a hat, the one that was picked out first was Dara Connor. So Dara, congratulations, you have won a signed Jess Fishlock Wales shirt. I will follow you on Twitter and get your details so that we can send out your shirt as soon as possible. Got some big thank yous to make to Ali Riley and to Anita Asante for joining us on the show. Great to have them on board, especially with the little Q&A at the end. And of course, a big thanks to our correspondents for their continuous roundups, hoping that you're finding them interesting and informative. As always, big thanks to you, the listener, for continuing to download, listen and to support this show. It is very much appreciated. And if you would like to get in contact, you can do. We are on Twitter, on @WOSOZone. If you wish to listen to the show, we are on Audioboom. So it's audioboom.com/WOSOZone, where you can find us on iTunes. If you wish to give us feedback, whether it's good, bad, constructive, critical, do get in touch. We're on WOSOZone@gmail.com. And as I finish recording, I am pleased to inform Scottish supporters and Glasgow City supporters that the home team have rallied against FC Zurich and have come back to win the match 4-2 and have progressed through to the quarterfinals of the UEFA Women's Champions League. First Scottish team to do so in the history of the competition. So congratulations to Glasgow City, and I will speak to everyone in a couple of weeks' time when we record episode 4. So for now, thank you very much and bye-bye.